Today, property pressure building. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. We're on the latest post covering finance and property news. Well, it clearly looks like the property chickens are coming home to roost as the financial pressures continue to build in many households. And it does look like the national auction clearance rate, at best a muddy measure of anything in particular, is likely to fall below 50% for the fifth week in a row as the federal budget's tax changes continue to weigh heavily on buyers in a soft market. It's actually a big turnaround from this time last year when clearance rates were 65% and price growth was beginning to accelerate, mostly due to the first interest rate cut since the pandemic. Next Tuesday at 8pm Sydney, I'm going to be running my live weekly show, and this will include a deep dive into specific postcodes using the latest from our household surveys and modelling. In today's show, I'm going to share a little later my top level stress results and latest scenarios. And on Tuesday, I'm going to go further and you can nominate a specific postcode to examine during the show. Or if you drop them in the comments below beforehand, I can add some additional colour around price movements, which I cannot as yet incorporate real time. So let me know which postcode you'd like me to focus on Tuesday. Meantime, according to Catality, the preliminary clearance rate for the week ended June the 14th so far came in at 54%, although it'll probably be revised lower again below 50% once all the sales figures are registered. What tends to happen is that agents prioritise reporting those which sold rather than those that didn't first. However, the better ratio, which I calculate, of listed to sold properties landed at 40.1%. That's compared to 38.3% last week. Perhaps the final figure will be a little higher this time than the six-week low recorded the week before the King's Birthday long weekend, but it does mark a consistent drop in successful transactions since the winding back of negative gearing capital gains tax concessions for investors on already weakening numbers, thanks to the rate hikes and overall financial pressure on many households. The uncertainty about the implication of the budget changes have definitely added to the negative sentiment. The Sydney and Melbourne markets settled into a downturn phase with home values falling by 0.9% and 0.8% across Sydney and Melbourne in May, according to Catality. Sydney's preliminary clearance rate was 52.8% from 797 auctions, but Melbourne's is higher at 57.6% from 980 auctions because it is less exposed to investors and the city is more affordable, frankly, thanks to price falls over the past couple of years. But the true clearance rate for Sydney was 39.3% compared to 38% last week, and it was 44.3% in Melbourne compared with 42.3% last week. Listings are actually on the rise, even though much of the new stock is of relatively poor quality, including a shift from investment property, which arguably is what the government seems to want. But while it may provide more choice for buyers and less investor competition for established properties, it does risk reducing the supply of rental properties and lifting rents further, something which, as we will see in a moment, seems to fly in the face of the problems for those renting with rising rental stress already. Adelaide's preliminary clearance rate was 56.6%, from 110 homes, with a true clearance of just 27.3%. Canberra's clearance rate was 45.6% from 79 auctions, with a true clearance of 32.9%. And Brisbane's clearance rate was 42% from 144 auctions, but the true clearance was 32.9%. And to show you how nutty clearance rate calculations are, in Tassie, there was a single property listed for auction, which sold prior to auction and gave a magical clearance rate of a meaningless 100%. So at this point, let's turn to the latest from our surveys. And just to remind you, we survey households on an ongoing basis and we put them into our core market model. We have 52,000 households in the survey at any one time and we update them each month. We can slice and dice the data lots of different ways and that gives us some granularity, for example, by location or types of households. And we can also form a view as to where property prices may be going based on our scenarios. And that allows us to take the mortgage stress data, the price trajectory history data, the buying and selling intentions data, the migration data, and the economic data, put it all into the core market model, put it through the scenarios, and we can then come up with, at a state, postcode, or even all Australia level, some trends with regard to where prices might go. The scenarios are not forecasts. They're just indicative of the sensitivities ahead. Oh, and by the way, we do provide a one-to-one service if you're interested in a particular postcode and going into much more detail. It's an individual confidential conversation. And I can't give financial advice, but I can look at the data at a postcode level. I can look at the stress, the home price trend data, and even form a view of where things may go based on my modelling. And it's typically an hour conversation via Zoom or phone. There is a cost involved simply because it takes time to do all the work, and we're booking 3 to 5 weeks ahead. If you go to the DFA blog, you're welcome to contact me and we can sort something out. Now let's talk about stress. It's very important to define stress right. There are many different definitions out there, from 30% of income or even taxable income through to underwriting metrics, but we define stress in cash flow terms, money in, money out, which means that if households have more outgoings, excluding one-off discretionary items, for example, going on holiday, than income, we define them as stressed. If they have a mortgage, they're in mortgage stress. If renting, they're in rental stress. Investors with cash flow pressures can be identified also as stressed investors, and we can aggregate the data to estimate the total financial stress at a particular postcode. And we can talk about percentage of households in the postcode and the count. I think the law of big numbers says that the count is the really important one. The latter, I think, therefore, is the best measure we use. Now, the RBA, of course, I use this chart regularly, had this wonderful quick summary of the intensity of financial stress over time, because frankly, once households get into difficulty, pressures start mild, budget pressures, but can morph into missing payments or indeed insolvency over a period of years. Now, I measure stress at that mild end, at the budget pressure end, and I'm not suggesting that everybody with budget pressure ends up insolvent, but it is a leading indicator. Now, if we look at the data to the end of May 2026, and if we start with the rental stress, these are the households renting. At the moment, 74.4% of those in the rental sector have cash flow pressures, and you can see that it's gone up again. It was a little higher, but it's been very high since March 2023. It came down slightly thanks to some changes to income, particularly for low workers, and also some greater government support. But unfortunately, that's now unwinding because of the higher inflation and the continued climb in rents. So 74.4% of all those in the rental sector is astonishingly high and, frankly, a major disaster for many. Mortgage stress is also up. It's to 53.3%, and you can see that it's gone up consistently now as interest rates have risen. And it is unfortunately looking to me as that's going to continue to climb because inflation is still bubbling away. This says that more than half of people with a mortgage have a cash flow problem. Doesn't mean they're going to fall over tomorrow, but it does mean they have to dial back on their spending, prioritize very clearly, and possibly put more on credit cards or get other loans to make it through. Oh, and by the way, the debt to income ratio is up again, according to the RBA, just slightly, but it does continue to spike higher. But then, of course, they keep resetting it and restating it, and it doesn't really give a fair representation simply because it counts all households, whether they're borrowing or whether they're not. Now, turning to the results for May, I, in yellow, have shown where the stress is higher compared with the previous month. And you can see that mortgage stress is up in New South Wales, in Tasmania, in Victoria, at 53.3% overall. But Tasmania is sitting there at 60.1%. That is because income in Tasmania is significantly depressed, and the economic activity in Tasmania is coming off the boil dramatically at the moment. Rental stress is pretty high and up again. Tasmania saw just a small adjustment down with Western Australia, but all the other states saw an increase, and in New South Wales we're at now 81.3% of households across New South Wales with rental stress, compared with the 72.2% in Queensland or 73.3% in Victoria. Looking at stressed investors, again, the investor problem is higher in New South Wales at 20.3%, and it's gone up. It's also there in South Australia. Came down a little in Victoria, and Western Australia, but overall it was still higher. And financial stress overall is 50.1%, with the highest count now coming through into New South Wales at 53.7%, Victoria 49.7%, and South Australia up again at 46.7%. The ACT dropped slightly, but still at 49.4%. Now, in terms of numbers, we have 2.15 million households in mortgage stress. We have 2.3 million households in rental stress. We have just over 500,000 of stressed investors. And overall financial stress at just over 5 million is now slightly above the, let's say, 10 million households across the country. So it is pretty dramatic. Another way of looking at the information is by our cohorts. And I've highlighted here the largest cohort for mortgage stress, the disadvantaged fringe for those on the outskirts of our major towns and cities. Rental stress has now become more concentrated among suburban mainstream. It used to be that multicultural establishment had some of the most significant issues, but now that's changed a little bit now. And so far as stressed investors are concerned, it's middle Australia now, mainstream property investors, suburban mainstream, that actually are there with the biggest number. Overall financial stress at 996,000 is highest among the disadvantaged fringe groups. Looking at the percentages, though, it's the young growing families at 94.3% that has the highest proportion. And a lot of those are first-time buyers, and of course, quite a few of them bought with the 5% deposit and now are finding that things have gone a bit pear-shaped. Rental stress is highest among wealthy seniors. That's quite interesting because it shows you that some of those who thought they were going to do quite well but are still renting are having to pay a lot more than they thought they were going to. And this is a problem. A lot of people who were actually in the rental sector by choice are now finding that as they move into retirement, it's really biting. Looking at stressed investors, the exclusive professional group who has the highest proportion of investment properties at 30.1% stressed is holding the prize. And overall financial stress is highest among young growing families at 72%. But you can see there that across many cohorts, we have considerable amounts of pressure on households now. And unfortunately, it is building quite significantly. Now, on Tuesday, I'll go into more detail and go through the individual postcodes. And we can look at some of the dynamics, particularly on disposable income, because disposable income is a really important measure of how this all plays out over time. Now, before I finish, let me just talk about my scenarios, because I do think scenarios are important because it shows you how we can look at sensitivities and explore different futures. It's not a suggestion of what may happen, but rather how sensitivities could lead to different outcomes. It's not a prediction. So I have three. The first scenario, which I call the Goldilocks zone, is we don't see any further rate rises. We see rates staying at around 4.35% until December 2027 and then ease subsequent. But we still see higher inflation and it won't really come back until later in 2027. This is pretty much what the RBA is perhaps indicating. Migration remains above average. We see first-time buyers still coming into the market, although perhaps less likely now given some of the recent changes. We don't get a recession in Australia, but we see wages ultimately slowing below inflation. But we do see some government handouts to try and oil the markets. Turning to the soft landing, which probably isn't that soft now, frankly, rates do rise again later in the year to somewhere around 4.6%, but they hold there until inflation eases in line with RBA expectations across 2027 and 2028. We see wage rises slower than inflation, unemployment rises, we get a recession in Australia, but we see a fall in migration to around average. The nightmare scenario, though, is still there. If we were to see rates rising to, say, 4.85% later in the year or into next year, as inflation bubbles higher, perhaps because of an extended problem in the Middle East, hopefully it won't happen, we see unemployment rising, we see wage growth stalling. Later, rates are cut, but migration drops below average and we get stagflation in Australia. Now, these are just examples. We could do different scenarios, and if you've got a particular scenario you'd like me to try and model, put them in the comments below and I'll try and get round to it. So let's look at what this means. This is actually the model for Australian house price scenarios overall. And you can see that in the best case scenario, there is still a path to slightly higher average home prices across the country. Maybe 4% over the next 3 years on average. However, the base case is a bit of a fall, maybe 10% fall over the next 3 years. The worst case is a more significant drop, and you can see there that we may be 30% down on average across the country. Units tend to follow on quite closely, although the fall might be a little less, simply because there are different economics around units rather than houses. Now, on Tuesday, I'll go into a bit more detail when it comes to the scenarios for individual locations. And in fact, we can look at it at a postcode level because, of course, every postcode has a different story. Here's an example of the analysis that we do at the postcode level. And you can see this is actually the Wollongong postcode 2500, one I know extremely well, of course. And you can see here that we've got a sense of what's happening with regard to mortgage stress and rental stress, as well as the gross and net investment yields, and very importantly, the disposable monthly income and what proportion is going on the average mortgage and the average rental. And then we have our scenarios over 3 years, and that gives a bit of a flavour based on the best base and worst case. And we can do that for each of the postcodes that we're going to look at. Point here, of course, is that every postcode is behaving differently, different dynamics, and therefore averages mask, which is why these more detailed pieces of analysis are quite useful. So the bottom line is we are moving into a phase within the property market where we do expect to see more price falls over time. We expect to see markets slowing with more listings coming on and less sales. And we do also expect to see more government intervention because, of course, Albo has said recently he doesn't believe that we're going to see a 10% fall in prices. Well, they're going to have to do more then. So I expect to see more rabbits being brought out of the hat. In other words, the property market once again being supported by more government intervention. Thanks, taxpayers. You are keeping the market up, maybe. So, if you'd like to have a particular postcode analysed on Tuesday, put it in the comments below, and I look forward to seeing you there. And meantime, it is going to be significant pressure for significant amounts of time for many households, unfortunately. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer.
I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.